Ken, is that actually, we're going to talk about subcutaneous trastuzumab this morning. We never got to it, but that's actually out on the table now. And, the breast cancer faculty this morning, we were talking about this. They don't really have any experience with that. What's your experience, Kenna, with subcutaneous bortezomib in terms of tolerability, site reactions, neuropathy?
Typically, the best way to tell an oncology nurse to give this is give it the way you give a Vidaze a shot. You don't prime the needle with the drug. You have a little bit of air in the needle and a little air after you give it. It has markedly diminished the erythema at the injection sites. You use it in the abdomen or the thighs. I don't know about you, but I have a lot more subcutaneous fat there than I do in my arms. And I'm sure your patients do too. And you're less likely to hit the same spot twice. You want to do the injections about an inch apart and rotate the sites. And it's very well tolerated. And again, the non-inferiority study showed efficacy given sub-Q.
Raphael, this is like a pretty new concept. I think it was the ASH meeting before, so it's a little bit over a year now that we've had this out on the table. You know, it's always interesting to see when new research comes out, are people going to pick up on it? And I know initially when it was first presented at ASH, people were like, whoa, are we going to do this? And it kind of seems like a year or so later, we are. Is that the case?
I would say unfortunately, because there was very good PK data to suggest that this could have been done many years ago. And it came out of serendipity, as you know, that ultimately led to that clinical report.
Serendipity?
It was the story. No one knows for sure, but the story comes out that it was first administered erroneously subcutaneously
really?
In France. And that led to the patients that were subsequently treated with a subcutaneous administration. All the pharmacologists suggest it would be just as good. Little did we know it was going to be probably safer. And the idea is that had we done this maybe a few years back, potentially you could envision that, you know, patients could self-administer and they don't have to drive. Elderly patients that have to drive 1.5 hours, 2 hours to a treatment center is a big deal. So I'm just very happy that this is happening and we'll take this very first step for now.
And in terms of, like, say, the cooperative research groups, Melissa, is it getting to a point now where this is being built into ongoing studies, or it's left up to the oncologist, or are they using an intravenous in the trials?
Yeah, I think in practice and for patients that are in the relapse setting where the study was done, and in patients that are high risk for neuropathy, I think everyone is really adopting this modality of administration. In clinical trials and in the newly diagnosed setting, it's still not being adopted all the way because this really has not been tested in the newly diagnosed. And even though it seems like Rafael said that, you know, by pharmacokinetics, it should work the same, I think people are a little bit hesitant to just jump into it, you know, in all the patients. In ongoing clinical trials, I'm not sure, I don't know, Rafael, if you know that has been changed.
It is a problem because many of the clinical trials still have the IV and they have the 1-4-8-11, and a lot of the practices are moving to the weekly, practices are moving to subcutaneous. I understand the concerns, and it will be a challenge to compare apples to apples down the line.
Exactly, yeah.